At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I've been talking a ton of AI, but what do I know? I need to actually dig into this further. So I found a global expert who's been working in AI for 15 years, has 4 patents, and has worked for clients like Microsoft, IBM, Pearson Education, and more. Manoj Agarwal joins me on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Prospects are asking about security earlier in the buying cycle. MSPs and their clients need a way to get compliant that is faster and takes less employee investment. With SecureFrame, you can get compliant in weeks, not months, so that you can focus on growing your business. SecureFrame makes it fast and easy to get SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, PCI, and GDPR compliant. With guided workflows and one-click integrations, the entire process is automated and backed by a support team of industry experts. Get you and your clients compliant fast with SecureFrame. Schedule a demo, and listeners get 20% off today with a link in the show notes. Manoj, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
All right. With a name like the AI Ninja, I got to start with asking, so how is AI going to change the world?
Well, it has already changed the world. We don't realize it. For the past, maybe about 13 years, our world has been already formed by AI. We have these devices in our pockets, which are pretty much running on AI algorithms. The news that we consume, it has been not only sort of curated for us by AI, but also generated for us by AI for the past several years. And to provide that evidence, you can see like whatever the political beliefs people have, I don't like talk about politics, but in general, you will see the elections across the world today are being won and lost using data and AI. So public opinion is being formed. You know, the way that we interact with each other is informed by what we see online. And these are basically just algorithms pushing content that other people seem to like. So that's the state of AI right now.
But it feels like we've kind of had a bit of a boost and a push in the past 6 months.
Yes.
You could say released or exploded onto the world as ChatGPT comes out, fastest adoption in consumer history, and then a litany of products come out. Are we seeing that hitting the exponential hockey stick? What do you think this moment is?
Absolutely. I think, in my opinion, you know, as an AI expert, I've been in AI for about 15 years, in technology for about 30 years. And I used to think, which was an industry consensus, that we will be here in another 30, 50 years, perhaps. But I think we are witnessing the singularity event where, you know, the AI is actually becoming more powerful than human mind. And you can see the evidence of that by looking at how fast things are progressing. Like every day, hundreds of new technologies are coming out based on ChatGPT. And I think what has happened is like AI and data as technologies, we know it has a lot of power. People like Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Elon Musk, they have benefited by using these power for the last 2 decades, and they have become wealthy, like really wealthy. And now with ChatGPT, the power is in the hands of the public. It has been democratized. And that is the reason why you have seen such high adoption, because people realize how powerful this technology is.
Okay. But who kind of owns the real value in all of this? Because, I mean, to a certain degree, if everyone has it, it becomes a commodity. So who are the people that really have the power in this new world?
I believe, you know, as you said, we from the time we evolved as humans, we have always valued intellect. But now if intellectual power is commoditized, I think the personality, the creative side, our ability to connect with other humans, the sort of the emotional side of empathy and understanding our clients better, serving them in a way that that's sort of more personalized, I think that will take precedence over figuring out solutions, because the solutions can be figured out easily and quickly now. But how do we apply it in a creative way that will be more powerful?
So do you worry about it taking away all the jobs? Like when people talk about that fear, do you have it?
See, there is going to be disruption for sure. I cannot deny that. You know, there's going to be disruption in any job that needed sort of pattern recognition. And this could include diagnosis, doctors, lawyers, any job that just is repetitive and looking for a pattern that will be automated. But we have gone through these huge transitions earlier as well. You know, when the car was invented, there was a big concern, what's going to happen to the cart industry? You know, where are the people who take care of the horses going to go? You know, all of that stuff. But the thing is, if you continue to evolve, if you continue to upskill yourself, you find better opportunities. So in my opinion, we are going into an age of abundance and utopia where a lot of the mundane work will be offloaded to machines and we'll be able to enjoy better and more fruitful lives. But there's going to be a period of transition. There's going to be a period of confusion, and people who can get ahead in that curve will benefit.
Okay. I'm going to ask, because I get uncomfortable when I start hearing people talking about it being like a utopia, because, you know, as a student of history, I could look at the conversation around the Industrial Revolution and push back and go, yeah, I've heard this story before. And by the way, you know, that worked out well for some, and by the way, transformational for society, but a lot of workers got churned up during that process.
Absolutely.
You know, what advice and guidance are you giving to help transition both at an individual level and kind of at a societal level?
Yeah. See, the thing is, once again, what we are going to do is take personal responsibility in this era. Like whenever there is a huge transition, people start to say, okay, who's going to come and help me? You know, who's going to get me out of this situation? And I don't want to upskill myself now. So those are the people who suffer in these transitions. And that's the nature of human evolution. I cannot deny there's going to be that sort of unrest. But if we start to take baby steps in understanding what this technology is, what it means for us, for our business, just start to nibble at it. And then what our mind does is, it starts to learn the patterns that this AI is showing us. And most importantly, you have to realize AI is a continuum of human mind. So it starts to learn us. And then that symbiotic relationship starts to develop where now you can start to see, oh, you know, I used to spend 10 hours a week doing this repetitive task. And now how I can incorporate AI to take over that part of my job so that I can devote 10 hours to something else, maybe, you know, creating new solutions for my client, maybe, making more phone calls to get more prospects, maybe spending time with my family, maybe, you know, taking time for meditation, whatever that is, right?
Okay. Now, I want to throw out a premise, and it's a bit of a long one, so if you bear with me, I will walk you through it. So Brian McCullough and Chris Messina over at the Tech Meme Ride Home have postulated that the world we're living in now is this idea of the various models being like varietals in grapes, mm-hmm. right? And the same way you've got a relationship between wine and grapes, the models create different kinds of products. Mm-hmm. I like this premise because it makes a lot of sense to me. And living in the IT services world, I immediately extend that and go, my idea on top of that is well, that's the power of a sommelier, mm-hmm. right? Anybody who's a wine drinker knows that you have an expert who's become very grounded in that, and they're very valuable in a restaurant mm-hmm. because of their expertise in matching a varietal or a particular grape to a particular customer. And so extrapolating to the world of business, I see that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for what I would call AI sommeliers, right? People that match that.
Yeah.
What's your take on that premise?
Absolutely. You nailed it on the head. I think what is going to happen is we are going to start getting different flavors of AI itself, just like wine. So some wine will, AI will be optimized for doctors. Some AI will be optimized for lawyers. And then as we start to get deeper and deeper, because you will see the AI becoming more powerful, that it starts to evolve on its own, meaning not in a human fashion, but sort of in its capacity to look in different minute patterns in life that we as humans cannot see. So as it starts to get more and more powerful, you could start to see personalized AI, which is perfectly suited to my life, my temperament. So that's the evolution we are going to go through, in my opinion.
So what are the questions then those sommeliers, right, the AI sommeliers, what do they need to understand about the various technologies in order to be effective in that role?
Yeah. See, the key is to, first of all, understand we all have certain goals, individual level, family level, societal level. We look at the world through our own life experiences. So as I said earlier, like somebody wants, their life goal is to retire their parents. Somebody's life goal is to make $10 million. Somebody else's life goal is to, provide really good education for their kids. And now when you get into those motivations, then you can start to work backwards from there and say, okay, what are the steps that we can take to get this individuals or this business to their destination fastest? And then that's the macro level, right? At the micro level, in those steps itself, those can be optimized and saying, okay, in order for me to execute this plan, I need to do marketing. In the marketing aspect, I need to create content. How do I create content fastest? How do I connect with the target audience fastest? So another quick example here is Amazon. Amazon delivers the product same day, but you realize that how optimized their supply chain is, because they even optimize the paths that a picker picks in their warehouse, walking from one end of the warehouse to the other end of the warehouse. The algorithm is telling them what will be the most efficient path where you can pick up the most packages. So even within the micro steps, you can start to optimize things and, get to higher efficiency.
Now, the lens I've been thinking about when I apply these tools is that, and I like Microsoft's branding here. They've been talking a lot about the idea of co-pilot. Mm-hmm. And I really like the idea of thinking about these AI tools as assistance to humans versus replacements. Because Absolutely. It feels to me that the best implementation is when we're making employees, workers, humans better versus replace them.
Absolutely.
Is that in alignment with the way you're thinking about it? How do you think the two work best together?
Absolutely. Any technology you can name, any technology, since the caveman walked out and tried to kill a big animal with a lever, that's a technology they invented, to now the, advanced satellites and everything. There is no technology that has actually replaced human. They have always enhanced humans, right? So people who are willing to work these technologies, they'll be able to do more things, they will be able to come up with better ideas. They will be able to come up with new solutions that we have not thought of. A simple example is we are talking through the internet. We are using PC, we are using hardware. If we choose to say, I'm not going to use this technology, I'm going to have to fly out to DC and sit next to you face to face. Another simple example is like if I have to do a complex equation, I can use a computer or a calculator, scientific calculator. But if I'm a purist mathematician, I say, oh no, I have to do this by hand. That's my choice, but I'm going to have to invest so much more time into that. So the tool is only going to help us enhance our abilities if we choose to. And this applies in any field, any industry, any job that you're doing. I believe we very, very shortly, we are also going to see, CEOs being advised by AI, or maybe companies being managed by with the assistance of AI. That's already happening right now.
Yeah, I've just reported recently on the show about a Hong Kong company that let their AI do most of the management. Yeah. Now, you've been doing AI for a while, obviously you have a moniker of the AI Ninja. There's a story I really want to know a little bit more about that came in your bio, where your work's been mentioned by both President Obama and Bill Gates. What's the story there?
Yeah, so it was an interesting project where, in higher education universities, there's a problem where 30% of the students drop out of their university programs in the first 2 years. And the reason is because they find out that the program they enrolled in is of no interest to them or it is too difficult. So what we did was we created AI algorithms which took in hundreds of thousands of students' past records, their school records, their aptitude scores and interest levels. And then we created a model to recommend courses based on a student's current record. So it's almost like Netflix recommends shows to us. And so that program was so successful that President Obama mentioned that project in his speech multiple times, and Bill Gates actually invested in that project. So that was an impactful, cool project that I got to work on.
That's a super cool one. And so, I mean, again, you think that the ultimate best projects here then are the ones that are going to be able to tie back to specific outcomes. How are you recommending people approach that?
See, it's about finding the main key pain points for people. Pain points as in how can we improve the lives of people, not by old thinking, because old thinking is, oh, that's the way that we have always done this. You know, there is no other solution to it. But once you start to say, okay, no, the reason why we do that is because, our mind is not capable of understanding minute patterns that exist in the universe. So if we can use the machine and say, oh, okay, I can take the experience of hundreds of thousands of other people, synthesize the information of how humans behave and react. And this could be in medicine, this could be in sports, it could be in education, any industry. Our human intellect actually is, as you said, like these are the grapes. That is the raw material which we can now synthesize with technology and find, oh, this is how most humans behave. This is how I can really build a solution that will comfort them, that will make their life easier, reduce their pain, help them get better education or what have you, right?
Well, that's a very positive thought to end on. But if people are interested in getting more information about their work or about your work, how could they do that?
So you can go to my website, Manoj Agarwal, my first name, last name.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search for my, first name, last name, Manoj Agarwal, and I'm fairly active on there.
Awesome. Manoj, thanks for being with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.